Well, we're going to continue today in our series through the book of Proverbs. We've been looking at themes in Proverbs. And you'll find in your bulletin, like I've done the last several weeks, a list of all the Proverbs that I'll be reading up front in the sermon. I won't be saying all the references as I read them. I'm just going to kind of assimilate them all together around this theme. And we're going to be looking at the theme of friendship and how it can affect your walk with God. Okay, and part of learning wisdom and growing wise before the Lord is learning to develop good friendships. So I'm going to read through Proverbs. And again, they're listed there. If you want to go back and find the ones that may be curious to you, you can find the references there in your bulletin. But hear the word of the Lord. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar on soda. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to the man who gives gifts. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. The one who keeps the law is a son of understanding, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, would you thank you for another opportunity to sit at your feet, to hear from your word. And we pray that as your word goes forth this morning, it would go forth with power, that you would change us more and more into the image of Christ, that your Holy Spirit would go forth to search our hearts and minds and bring those things to light that we need to bring before you for repentance and forgiveness. We pray that you would minister to us this morning as your word goes forth again. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I read an article recently which stated that American white heterosexual men have the fewest friends of any other group in our culture. And one researcher was trying to figure out why. And the researcher discovered that as men become older teenagers and young adults, they don't develop intimate friendships with other men, even though they really want to. And part of that problem is the cultural perception that being intimate about your feelings or your troubles is considered by many to be a feminine or a homosexual trait rather than a masculine virtue. Men are supposed to be strong and not to share their emotions with each other. It's okay with your wife, but never with other men. And here, our cultural standard of what it means to be masculine or feminine has departed from the biblical standard. The Psalms, for example, are highly emotional poems and prayers, and yet they are written by a fierce warrior. King David. Pouring out your heart is not incompatible with being a strong man. David could wage fierce battles and yet unload his troubles to his friend Jonathan. And the book of Proverbs as well can help us regain a biblical perspective on the nature and the need of friendship. King Solomon wrote these instructions to his son, and he clearly expected his son to develop close friendships with other men. Relationships that are not romantic or family or business related, just good friendships. Now, I'm not just preaching only to men today. Women must learn about friendship from God's Word as well. But I singled out men this morning because in our cultural setting right now, it is the men who tend to struggle more with this than women do. In the ancient world, that wasn't the case, but today it is. An important part of flourishing into adulthood is developing wise friendships. The good friendships are a gift from God to provide you companionship in life and to help you live wisely before the Lord. So, as we study Proverbs today, I just want to look at two main points. We'll look at the nature of friendship, and then we'll look at some warnings about friendship. At the nature of friendship, and some warnings about friendship. And my hope for you today is that you will better appreciate the nature of friendship and invest yourself more fully in developing wise friendships. And so let's look at our first point. That's the nature of friendship. In Proverbs, friendship begins with being a good neighbor. One of the Hebrew words for friend here can also be translated as neighbor, depending on the context. They're interchangeable. There's a close connection between being a good neighbor and a good friend, because a good neighbor can eventually become your good friend. And what is a good neighbor? Well, in Proverbs, a neighbor is someone who is close to you. He may live by you, work with you, go to school with you. It's anyone who interacts with you. And a good neighbor exercises a positive influence on those around him. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." That the good neighbor follows the way God commands him to live, which includes loving his neighbor and keeping his good in mind. Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And a good neighbor seeks to live this way, even if his neighbor is wicked. Proverbs 25:21 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him a bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will keep burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." And so the conduct of your neighbor does not keep you from being a good neighbor. Good neighbors are necessary to building strong communities. So that's the first level of developing a friendship, learning to be a good neighbor. And this is perhaps the most common and the least intimate form of friendship, because you seek to live this way with everyone around you. But a good friend is something more. Part of the problem in our own culture is that the definition of friend has become so trivial and broad that we have forgotten what a true friend is. And so notice some characteristics about the nature of friendship in Proverbs. First of all, friendship is unique. It is unique. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." A friend is different than a mere companion. It's possible to have many companions or acquaintances, but no friends. Companions may be cordial neighbors or co-workers or fellow students. You may have good or civil working relationships with them, but that doesn't mean they are friends. A friendship in Proverbs is more intimate and unique. Proverbs 18:24 again says, "There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." That word there, "sticks closer," literally means to cleave or to cling to. Companions come and go. Companions let you fall. But a friend will not let you fall into ruin. He chooses to stick with you. And a brother is there for you because he has to be. He's family. And he loves you, even though he may not like you or may not have much in common with you. But a friend chooses you voluntarily. And it's not a romantic love or a family love or even a neighborly love. It's a different kind of love. Now, you should be friends with your spouse, right? And, you know, and have a romance with her as well. But and a family member can become your friend, right? But friendship is still a different form of love. And because of that, a good friend is hard to find. And we read about David and Jonathan earlier, and there we see an example of friendship. Both were young soldiers fighting together for Israel, and both loved the Lord, and they chose one another. It says in 1 Samuel 18:3 that this is when they first became friends. This is when Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. They became immediate friends. And that relationship grew and remained solid through many troubles, even when Jonathan's father, King Saul, was trying to kill David. We read in 1 Samuel 20 earlier, we saw how Jonathan and David could share their troubles and their feelings with each other. They had a firm commitment to one another as friends, and David did not have many friends like this, and only a few. We can see the same selectiveness of friends with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus had hundreds of disciples, but he chose 12 to be with him all the time. And of those 12, he singled out a few for even closer friendship. And so friendship is unique, and it really can't be any other way. It's hard to invest that much in too many people. But another characteristic of friendship is that friendship is constant. It is constant. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And notice the contrast there again between a friend and a brother. A brother helps you in times of trouble because you're his brother, right? Even if he doesn't like you. But a friend loves at all times. He enjoys being around you and spending time with you. He doesn't abandon you or keep his distance when times are tough. A friend is a faithful ally through good times and bad. He remains faithful, even if he must make sacrifices. For example, notice David and Jonathan again. King Saul wanted to kill David, and so David lived in hiding for several years. But that didn't stop Jonathan from helping David. And in 1 Samuel 23, in verse 16, it says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God." And Jonathan took a huge risk to go and help David. He traveled miles through the wilderness to find David. He risked being killed by his father by helping David. But he loved David at all times and made sacrifices to encourage David when he was going through his hard times. And Jesus said in John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, but someone lays down his life for his friends." And so friendship is unique and is constant. But friendship is also transparent. In Proverbs 27 and verse 5 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." And a friend is someone who enjoys mutual transparency with you. Now, you can be transparent with a therapist, right? But a therapist will not be transparent with you, right? In friendship, there's mutual transparency. You always let him in, he always lets you in. And that involves taking a risk. And getting to know someone in this deep way involves the risk of betrayal or getting hurt. But if you aren't willing to take the risk, then you will never experience a good friendship. And a friend has the freedom to know you and even confront you, even if it hurts. And it takes a real friend and a sincere love to confront you rather than to flatter you to avoid hurting your feelings. And often people will flatter you to your face, but then complain or gossip about your problems behind your back. Right? But a friend loves you enough to tell you the truth, even if it means facing your wrath for the moment. Now, there is a mutual transparency in friendship which allows friends to be honest with each other and to have the freedom both to confront and to encourage one another. Now, so friendship is transparent. Another characteristic of friendship is that friendship provides counsel. That transparency in friendship allows you to take counsel together. That means you can bear your souls to each other, your fears, your frustrations, your plans, your dreams. You can get advice from one another, because you know each other better than the companions around you. Your friend has unique insight into you and can help you make more informed decisions. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." And so there, the counsel of a friend is like oil and perfume. It's aromatic. And this counsel can help you, even if you don't agree with each other. Now Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. A friend doesn't always agree with you, but you can still learn from one another as you work through disagreements. Now within a friendship, there is freedom to learn from one another without the fear of rejection. And through your journey together in life, you can help each other learn wisdom. Now, Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. The companion of fools will suffer harm. So friendships are unique, they're constant, they're transparent, and they provide counsel. But friendships are also careful. Yeah, a friend is careful. Listen again to some of these proverbs. Proverbs 27:14 says, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. Has anyone ever done that to you? Right? In Proverbs 25:20, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. That a friend pays attention to your moods. He meets you where you are. When you are sad in life, it makes him sad too. Right? He doesn't sing songs of joy when you feel like singing the blues. That he's in tune with your needs and is careful in the way that he approaches you, especially in tough times. But he's also careful not to overstep his bounds. Proverbs 25:17 says, let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. And sometimes a friend needs space. And a good friend understands how to carefully navigate that balance of closeness and distance, and you respect boundaries. And these needs can be different from one friend to another. And so a good friend communicates well, and he's careful. Finally, notice that friendships are diverse. They are diverse. At least they should be. What I mean is that friendships can extend beyond your own generation. And our culture is dominated by the mentality of youth culture. And so many feel that they can only have good friends within their own age group. And most often, your good friends are in your age group just because of common experiences and preferences. But you can forge friendships with people who are older or younger than you, especially when it comes to family friends. And notice Proverbs 27:10 says, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. And so then in that proverb, there's a diversity of friendships and courage there. I don't know about some of you, but I know that many of my first friendships growing up were the children of my parents' friends. Now, we lived in the same town, went to the same school and church. We visited each other's homes often. We had some family friendships, some that even extended three generations. And perhaps you've enjoyed that here in Lisbon too. Right? Multi-generational friendships are a good thing. They force you to grow outside your own comfort zone and expose your blind spots in ways which friends your own age may not be able to do. But also notice that Proverbs says that a close neighbor is better than a distant brother. Now, this is very practical advice for a mobile society like our own. Too often, families are separated by geography and frequent moves. And so friendships become more important where you live, even though it's very hard to build them. At every time you move, you have to start over again. But it's necessary work if you're going to thrive where you are. This is an area where the church especially can reach out to those who are displaced from their families. And everyone needs good friends, and the church should be the first to seek out and offer friendship to the lonely. So those are some characteristics of friendship. That friendships are unique, they're constant, they're transparent, they provide counsel, they are careful, and they should be diverse. And because of these things, good friendships are rare and require a lot of investment to build. Now, perhaps some of you may be asking, well, how can I form a good Proverbs-type friendship? And C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Four Loves, has a very helpful chapter on friendship. And he says, first of all, that friendship begins with common interests. It begins with common interests. He described the beginning of friendship in this way. He says, the typical expression of opening friendship would be something like, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Right? Friendship begins by discovering that two or more people share the same interest. And he went on to say that that a romance is face to face, right? Each focusing on the other. But a friendship is shoulder to shoulder, each focusing on that common interest or cause. And so this discovery of common ground provides the fertile ground for friendship to begin. And at this level, it's possible to have friends who are non-Christians. You can enjoy common interests, whether it's farming or beekeeping or basketball or literature. All right, friendships begin by enjoying common interests. Now, you need more than just a desire for a friend. And C.S. Lewis has a funny way of saying this. He says, this is why those pathetic people who simply want friends can never make any. The very condition of having friends is that we should want something else besides friends. Right? Friendships don't begin with just a desperate plea for someone to be your friend. There has to be common ground. And from there, you begin forging and building a friendship. And the more you have in common, the more potential there is for a strong friendship. And yet at the same time, there must be differences too. Remember, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And a good friendship strikes a balance between those common interests and those constructive differences. You enjoy what you have in common. At the same time, you challenge and stretch each other with your differences. And those differences can come in many ways. You have different cultures, different classes, some other different interests, and so on. So friendship begins with common interests. And this principle also means that any two Christians have the ability to forge friendships because they have the common interest of Christ. In Christian friendships, you have the deepest and the most important things in common, even though you may be very different in many other ways. It'll help you cause iron to sharpen iron. In the church, God brings people together who wouldn't normally be together in the world. Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, rich and poor. Right? In the church, you have iron sharpening iron at many different levels. And when you go through trials, you have common resources to help each other through the Word and through prayer and through that common work of the Holy Spirit. You can enjoy a friendship with a non-Christian, but when trouble comes, it will be much more difficult to receive wise and biblical counsel from them. Because at the root, you both have fundamentally different views about the meaning of life in this fallen world. And your non-Christian friend's counsel is coming from that non-Christian point of view. And that could lead you astray if you're not careful. But that danger is less when you both are committed to Christ and His Word. And so every Christian is able to forge a friendship because of what you have in common in Christ. But then you also have this golden combination of common interests and a common interest in Christ. And that provides a foundation for some of the deepest friendships that you could ever enjoy. That's the kind of friendship we saw with David and Jonathan. They had a lot in common. They both were valiant soldiers, both committed to defending their people, and both had a deep love for the Lord, which enabled them to sustain one another through difficult times. And so if you're looking for strong friendships, seek the Lord's help and discernment. Find other Christians who enjoy the things you enjoy, or who have similar experiences to you, and seek to spend time with them, and enjoy doing those things with them. And over time, you'll begin to discover and build friendships, like we find in Proverbs. Right, so we've seen the nature of friendship and how to begin building friendships. And this leads us briefly to our final point. And there are some warnings about friendship. A friendship is a gift from God, but we must also be aware of the dangers to friendship in a fallen world. And Proverbs provides us some warnings. And the first of all is to beware of dangers to friendship. Even close friends can be damaged by sin. And notice Proverbs 16:28. It says, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." Or Proverbs 17:9, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." And here we have two examples that can destroy a friendship: gossip and refusing to forgive your friend when they've wronged you. Like, close friends can be separated if either one is not careful to protect that relationship, not only from the outside dangers like gossip, but from the dangers within your own heart, like bitterness. That takes a lot of work and communication to maintain and protect a friendship in a fallen world. So you need to be aware of those dangers to friendship. You also need to be aware of foolish or false friends. It's possible to form friendships that lead you into vices rather than virtues. The wrong friendships can lead you away from God. And we see an example of this in Luke 23 and 12. And there it says, "And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other." And what was the common ground which reconciled these Roman rulers? Well, it was the trial of Jesus. This common rejection of Christ made them friends. And so you must beware of forming friendships which lead you away from Christ. But false or foolish friends also show their true colors in tough times. We see examples of this as well in Proverbs. Proverbs 14:20 says, "The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts." Right? These are examples of fair-weather friends, people who enjoy you when you benefit them, but who leave you behind when trouble comes. Now, a true friend sticks closer than a brother and loves you at all times. So you need to beware of those foolish or false friends. And time will tell you which kind they are. You also need to be aware of jealousy over friends. A good friend is hard to find, and when you find one, it's tempting to become selfish with your friend. But a true friend wants to see the best brought out in his friends, even if it means that someone else draws it out of them. And it's even better when a friendship expands into a circle of friends. And C.S. Lewis has a clever way here of describing his own circle. He says, "In each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all his facets. Now that Charles is dead, I shall never again see Ronald's reaction to Charles' joke. Far from having more of Ronald's and having him to myself, now that Charles is away, I have less of Ronald." Hence, true friendship is the least jealous of loves. Two friends delight to be joined by a third, and three by a fourth, if only the newcomer is qualified to become a real friend. And by qualified here, he's referring again to common interests. Right? If you have two or three friends, you would love to have someone else in common with you join your circle. Right, so we need to be aware of jealousy over friends. And expanding your circle of friends will be healthier for you and your friendships than trying to confine your friend to yourself. And so we've seen the nature of friendship and some warnings about friendship. And let me just close with one more comment. As we look at these characters of friendship, we can have mixed reactions. And there's part of us that longs for deeper friendships like this, isn't there? And yet at the same time, we are reminded of our own failure to be a friend like this to others. Often we don't enjoy these kind of friendships because we are not willing to put in the hard work necessary to forge a friendship. But we need more than just hard work. And we need to look to the God who graciously chose to call us his friends. In John 15, we find Christ's parting words to his disciples before he went to the cross. And there he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Right here, in the person of Christ, we see the very nature of God on display. A God who seeks friendship with men. God created us and redeemed us for communion with himself and with each other. He shared his counsel with us about his plan of redemption. He loved us enough to lay down his life for us as his friends. And only the Holy Trinity is truly a God of love. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have loved each other with an eternal love, and we, as God's image, were designed to reflect and to experience that love of the Trinity, not only with each person of the Godhead, but also through a diversity of loving relationships among men, and in marriage and family and community, and in unique friendships. And all those relationships, we're getting a taste of that eternal love experienced within the Trinity. And it's only through Christ that we can experience this friendship with God and true friendship with each other. Only Christ can free you and change you to love your friends the way Jesus loved you. Christ is your greatest friend, the only one who will never let you down, even when all others fail. Ultimately, Christ is that friend who sticks closer to you than a brother, who refused to let you fall into ruin. And he proved that by taking your place on the cross, so that you could enjoy friendship with God again, rather than the wrath that you deserve for your sins. And in Christ, you find the security and the freedom to forgive your friends for their failures, the way Christ forgives you. Your future hope in Christ enables you to lay down your life for your friends, the way He laid down His life for you. And in Christ, that ability to forge friendships is redeemed. Those friendships you forge with other believers now will not stop when you die, but continues to grow and flourish for all eternity. The imperfect blessings you enjoy with your Christian friends now is only a taste of the glory to come when your circle of friends rejoices with you around the throne of God in perfect holiness. So I pray these words on friendship will help you to appreciate and engage more fully in building wise friendships, not only with other people, but with Christ Himself as your best and truest friend. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are truly a friend of sinners, that You have redeemed us back to Yourself, that You have revealed Yourself to us in many different ways and shared Your counsel with us. And we thank You that we are free to share our hearts with You. And we pray that this love that You have poured out to us through the Lord Jesus Christ will also enable us to pour out that love to others and to enjoy that love with others. We pray that You would help us to be a congregation of friends, friends who are growing closer together day by day, but also those who are reaching out to others to share the love of Christ and to share friendship with others around us. We pray that by our friendship with one another, the glory of Christ would be more manifest and more people would be drawn to You. We ask for all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.